Our last witness is Lutz Cleveman, who is author of a book called The New Great Game, Blood and Oil in Central Asia, particularly looking at oil exploration and the sort of politics of oil extraction and exploration in the Caspian Sea. He's on the line from Paris now. Mr. Cleveman, I assume you don't want to be reduced to travelling everywhere on a horse or a bicycle. Isn't it the duty of your government to try as best it can to ensure supplies of oil?
No, sure, one could make that case. One could make the sort of devil's advocate's argument that we need the oil, we're entirely dependent on it, so we might as well get it before the Chinese get it, or the Arabs keep it, or some of that. But I'll tell you something, I don't prefer travelling by bicycle, but I have been travelling in the Middle East and in Central Asia ever since 9/11, and I've met a number of players in the region, politicians, diplomats, warlords, oil barons, military people. And what I have noticed is that oil is, as I believe Michael quite rightly said, is a curse. It's not a blessing for oil-producing countries. That's the case in Nigeria. That's the case all over the Middle East, Angola, Venezuela, you name it. Oil wealth has led to economic decline, environmental degradation, political instability, coup d'etats, civil wars, and indeed interstate wars. Oil is the devil's tears.
But if, sorry to interrupt your oratorical flow there, but if it is true, as Michael Gove was suggesting, that the sum total of Arab economies without oil amounted to the same size as that of Finland, then you would be condemning them, just as producers of this commodity, to extreme poverty.
Well, Bruce Anderson was saying that the Saudis would be much better off without... he was actually saying the Saudis would be miserable if it hadn't been for oil. Now, I'm not sure if I entirely agree with that. In fact, if this wasn't the BBC, I would say it's utter rubbish. It has led to what Melanie quite rightly called this Faustian Pact, and people are suffering in those countries. It's the devil's tears, and it's becoming our problem as well. It's a fatal affair. The Saudi affair has become a fatal affair for the West, because it leads to a lot of angry young men running around throwing matches.
I understand. Ian Hargreaves, you're with us.
Has oil been a curse for the United States?
Oh, 2.5 years ago, you would have seen it. Oil politics, as usual, leads to the rise of terrorism. The oil politics, as usual, particularly as the Bush administration is pursuing it, undermines our chances to win the war on terror, because it creates a lot of social discontent in the Middle East and in Central Asia.
But it takes consumers as well as producers to have the oil economy that we have. Has oil been a curse for America in the sense of the uses to which it's been put and is being put?
It is becoming a curse for us as well.
In what sense?
For the security reasons and for environmental reasons. The climate change is a huge, huge issue that we're facing this century. But the security issue is the big one as well.
You can't blame President Bush for the position that the American administration adopted on climate change and on the Kyoto Protocol, for example, can you?
Well, I won't go into the environmental issues of this.
Well, it's a pretty important issue if we're talking about the morality of the oil economy and the position of the United States in that.
Oh, no, surely it is. I mean, look, 1 out of 7 barrels of oil produced in the world is burned on American highways. It's burned by those SUVs and Hummers and those other toys for poorly endowed men. The United States and Europe are terribly, terribly addicted to oil. And this leads us to make very unwise policy decisions, namely propping up dictators that keep churning out terrorists who then come over and cause terrible, terrible havoc in our countries.
So how do we change this? What's the corrective to this addiction? Because it can't be corrected by the producers. They're going to want to go on selling it, aren't they?
Right, exactly. Now, what you would want to do...
So the moral responsibility lies more with, for example, the United States than it does with the House of Saud.
Well, you could say that. And the Bush administration has said they would try and nudge the Saudi regime towards democratic reform. But, of course, there's a problem here, which is that an addict is hardly in a position to change his pusher's criminal ways. It's as simple as that.
Can I just interrupt you a second? You're talking of this as if it's addict and all, as if it's like giving up smoking. But this isn't just, you know, gas-guzzling cars in America. Oil is the basic building block of nearly every synthetic material we use. You know, the idea that we can be somehow weaned off oil, at any rate in the short term, is ridiculous fantasy, surely.
Clearly not in the short term, but the end of oil
is
not.
In the medium term.
It's already the end of the cheap oil. And you could perhaps compare it to smoking. You could compare it to drugs that are a lot worse than that. It's fun while it lasts, but then the next day you have a terrible, terrible hangover,
It is a grotesquely oversimple view that you're presenting. I mean, the story of the last 30 years is of the world benefiting from and coping with a relatively volatile oil price. And surely what that period tells us is that if the price goes up, technology kicks in and economies are able to adapt.
Yeah, but look, what is at stake is a lot more than that. It's a lot more than that. This is a drug that is about as nefarious as it gets because of the terrorist problem here. Let me give you an example. This has become a fairly wordy discussion here. I met this young man in Uzbekistan, just sort of give you an anecdotal evidence here, Ahmed. We had a coffee. It turns out he'd just been released from prison after 3 years. He said he was tortured every day, beaten every day by his guards. I asked him, well, aren't you happy that now there are American troops in your country? Because Uzbekistan is, you know, even though his dictator is every bit as unsavory as Saddam Hussein, it's become America's new ally in the war on terror and in the new great game in Central Asia. Aren't you happy that American troops are in your country? He said, why should I be? They support the government that tortures me. I hate America. Now, is it too far-fetched to believe that if Al-Qaeda knocked on Ahmed's door tomorrow and asked him to join, that he would indeed join?
Melanie Phillips?
Can I just drag you back to the moral issue that we are trying to grapple with this evening? I'm not sure whether you think it's right or wrong for the US to try to defend its own interests by seeking to break the grip of the Saudi oil blackmail on it, by seeking to develop other oil streams elsewhere. Do you think that that's a right thing for it to do, or do you think that's, again, a sort of plundering of the Earth's resources?
Well, look, I think the issue of today's debate is in itself the wording is fairly immoral. Has the West the right to fight for its oil? It's not our oil. It's not the West's oil. Do you remember this bumper sticker that says, how did our oil get under their sand? This is what your argumentation, Melanie, sounds to me.
Well, given that oil, as Michael has just said, is the thing that keeps our civilization going, how would you answer the fact that there is going to be death and destruction, quite frankly, if your solution were to be applied? I mean, we can all bemoan the grip that oil has, and I don't disagree with you for a second. Unfortunately, there is no alternative, so what would you do?
Well, look, it takes two to tango, doesn't it? It takes the pusher and it takes the addict. And now you're saying, ooh, the pusher's getting all nasty and, you know, they're waging war on us. But this is the position that we have got them into. We've been pumping petrodollars into Saudi Arabia, knowing that Saudi petrodollars are financing terrorist groups around the world. So knowing that the Saudi oil is ideologically contaminated. Now, the way out of this is not to wage war against the Saudis, annex the northeast and then keep the oil to ourselves. Now this is what we're trying in Iraq, and it's not working too well, is it? I mean, we wouldn't be in Iraq, would we, if there were only strawberry fields to protect? It is clearly.
I must stop you there, Mr. Cleveland. Thank you very much indeed.